Blog Talk Radio.
Don't you know that I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus? I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah.
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 Saying
the name of Jesus. Father God, we shut down our first and second heaven activity. Every witch, warlock, wizard, anything that would come against this teacher, we block and stop it in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we ask you to release your wrath against all those who would try to stop people from hearing the truth so that they can walk in their healing and their wholeness. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So as I said earlier, we must separate from the sin factor. Amen. We need to first of all understand what is a disease. A disease is a separation on three levels. Understand, a separation from God and his word, his person, and his love. Separation from yourself by not accepting yourself, suffering from guilt and shame. And the third one is separation from others by breaching and relationship. All these types of things can bring sickness, infirmity, and disease on your body. Now, we know that God desires for us to love, I wish above all things, that thou wouldest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prosper. Glory to God. So we see that God wants us to prosper. He said above all things, he wants us to prosper and be in good health. So one of the main things God wants for you is for you to be in good health. He wants your spiritually be in good health. He wants your soul to be in good health. He wants you to prosper. That means to increase in your health. Amen. So we have to understand if we're suffering with sickness, infirmity, and disease, we need to find out what is the reason. Why am I separated from God? Why am I separated from his word and his love? Why don't I accept myself? God created me, and I need to accept myself. In Genesis, God said that when he finished creating, he said everything that he made was good. So we need to get to the place and understand, why am I sick? Why is my body breaking down on me? When God's desire is for me to prosper, for me to be in good health. So we need to find out what is the things in our life that's causing this breach, the breach in our relationship with Christ, the breach in our relationship with other relationships. A lot of times, sickness, infirmity, and disease comes on a person because they have unforgiveness, bitterness. All these things are gateways for the enemy to come in and to break down your body. See, we don't want to hear this, but a lot of times when we sin, sin separates us. Sin brings on sickness, infirmity, and disease on a person's body. People blame God. God doesn't cause anyone to be sick. Understand that God's desire is the opposite of what you're going through. Amen. We have to understand it. So God says that he said above all things, he desires for you to be in good health. So we need to understand what is taking place. Let us go over to Romans chapter 7, verse 15. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can I tell you, God wants his body, his bride, to walk in good health. You being sick, you being breaking down, that is not a good testimony for a Christian, because our God is a supernatural God. The stripes of Jesus, he paid for our sickness and infirmity on his back, the stripes he took. So why are we sick? Why are we in poor health? Many, many Christians are in poor health. They go to church week after week, and still they still sick. All types of things in your body. First of all, we have to learn to let things go and give it to God. He said, take upon my yoke, for my yoke is easy. We want to be resentful and hate for the people who've done us wrong, and we don't understand that they're moving on with their life. And I'm so, Lord, let us read. Let's start at 14. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 15, and it says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am a creature of the flesh, worldly, self-reliant, carnal, and unspiritual. My God, sold into slavery to sin and servant under its control, for I do not understand my own actions. This is Paul saying he doesn't even understand his own action. He said, I am baffled, bewildered by them. I do not practice what I want to do. How many of us do the same thing? We don't practice what we really want to do. Human nature. He's talking about he's yielded to his carnal nature, his fleshly nature. And we know that the Bible said, in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. He said, and yielding to my human nature, my worldliness. When we walk in the flesh, we are worldly. We are acting worldly. We are of the world when we walk in the flesh. He said, my sinful capacity. Does that sound familiar? The things that you don't want to do, that's what you do. The things that you hate, that is what you do. Do you think Paul was sinless? No. Do you think he was being disrespectful when he says that he's got sin in his body? No, he was telling the truth. We have to learn that it is sin. There's only one man that was sinless, that was Christ Jesus. Only Jesus. We have to understand, Paul is here talking about himself. Understand that Paul is a believer. He is a believer. He's an apostle, as a matter of fact, and he was an apostle at this point for at least 20 years, my God. And he's still talking about his life and the challenges of living a Christian life. It's a challenge. Why? Because you're going to have to learn to crucify your flesh. If you want to reap the promises of God for your life, not just material things, but also for your health, you're going to have to learn to crucify your flesh. You're going to have to say no to the flesh. See, we don't want to do so messed up. So many things are going on in the church. It's because there's too much flesh in the church. In the church, it should be only one kingdom reigning, Jesus Christ. But in the church, we have the flesh rim reigning. We have leaders and stuff, cardinal nature, human kingdoms ruling in the church. And that's why the church really doesn't have the power that it's supposed to have, because we are not in the position we need to be. We need to learn how to line back up to the word of God. Glory to God. Our next scripture, Psalms 95:7 says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, you're supposed to not harden your heart. But so many people are so hard-hearted. That's why so much sickness in their bodies. People are high blood pressure, low blood, tumors, and cancer. All of these things is because we don't want to hear God's voice and his word on things that we don't agree with. We need to submit our will to God's will and our ways to his, because his will continuously bring you healthy and wholeness in your life. But when you want to do it your way, make no mistake, you open the door for sickness, infirmity, and disease. You open the door to all types of infirmities. You open the door for Satan and his demons, because understand that sin brings a curse. Amen. I know what people say, oh, no, we're not under the curse. You're not under the curse, but you can cause a curse to come upon you by the deeds that you do. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6:2. And it says, for he says, at the acceptable time, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time that we must listen to God, listen to his word. If you want to be healed, you're going to have to let go of sin, bitterness, resentful, hatefulness. This is sin. This is sin when you are unforgiven. I don't care what they did. We have to understand that God forgave us all the horrific things that we have done. But if you don't forgive, the Bible makes it clear, if you don't forgive people their trespasses, God cannot forgive you. And if you have unforgiveness, that is a strong gate for sickness, infirmity, and disease. Let me tell you something. People don't realize that, but bitterness eats you to the marrow and the bone. My God, Luke, let's go over to Luke, and we just setting our foundation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 9:23. And I hope you have a pen and paper and write these scriptures down and meditate on them and ask the Holy Ghost to help you to bring understanding. I'm so tired of people blaming God for their sicknesses. We have to understand that, once again, in order for somebody to have a disease, they have to have separation on three levels: separation from God, separation from yourself. Many people hate themselves. No, I don't like the way I look. I don't like my hair color. I don't like my eye color. Those things are gateways to sick, bad relationship with someone. All of these things open the door to sickness, and they block your healing. These are pathways to block your healing. Let us go to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And it says, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to follow me as my disciple, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, he must deny himself, set aside his selfish interest. You hear what God is saying? And take up his cross daily, expressing a willingness to endure whatever comes and follow me, believing in me. This is Jesus conforming to my example in living. And if can't hold up grudges, you can't hold hatefulness, you cannot practice sin, whether it's lusting or lying, or all these things are gateways. It gives the devil a legal right to operate in your life. And we know that the devil is a legalist. He knows from God's standpoint things that he can do and things that he cannot do. But when you have sin in your life, it opens the door. He has a legal right to afflict you. My God. So we have to take up our cross and express a willingness to follow God's ways and not our own selfish interest. We cannot do things our way and expect to prosper in this kingdom. In this kingdom, you have to die, give up your life so that you can live. Amen. Understand that God's kingdom is not like this kingdom. You're going to have to, well, here's an example, our example of suffering. But if you want your body to be healed, if you got someone, loved one, that's suffering with any types of sickness, infirmity, and disease, and they're a believer, you need to talk to them about forgiveness. Do they have any resentment in their lives? Who haven't they forgiven? What bitterness? You know, some people hold on to childhood hurts and pains, and yes, it hurts when you go through things as a child. But once you come into Christ, you're a new creature. You have to give that yoke and that burden to God and allow him to come in to heal your fragmented heart so that you don't walk in sickness, infirmity, and disease. This is very important. This is the key. We have to deal with, and we must separate from the sin factor. It is the sin that's keeping people sick and dying, doesn't want you to die prematurely. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that we're supposed to have at least 70 good years. And if you have strength, even another 10. But people are dying in their 30s and their 40s, and something wrong with that picture, people of God. It's something wrong, something that we are not doing, something that we are missing. We have to come back in alignment with God's word. We have to come back in relationship with Christ. We cannot say we love God and refuse to follow him. Jesus said that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And what he said, we are to love God. Amen. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40, it says that we are supposed to love God with our whole heart and then love our neighbor as ourselves. And then we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. That means we're supposed to love God, ourselves, because God, we're made in the image of God, and then we are to love our neighbor. That doesn't mean we have to be in agreement with everything that our neighbor does, but we have to love them because Christ died for them from their sin. And I'm getting ahead of myself, so let me keep to the teaching, people of God. Glory to God. I pray that you're getting something out of this. I pray that you're getting understanding that the key to walking in good health is to be delivered from the sin factor. Amen. So let's go over to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. And it says, so then, my dear ones, just as you have always obeyed my instruction with enthusiasm, not only in my presence, this is Paul, he said, but now much more in my absence. Continue to work out your salvation. That means that is to cultivate it, bring it to full effect, actively pursuing spiritual maturity. See, that's another thing in the Bible, get on the meat. And it doesn't mean that you mature based off how many years you've been in the church. It means how effective and how much you align yourself to the word of God. How much that you can die to self so that you can live to Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So it says cultivate it, bring it to full effect, actively pursuing spiritual maturity and awe-inspired fear and trembling, using serious caution and critical self-evaluation to avoid anything that might offend God. See, this is another key to being mature, God. You got to know, you got to want to live a way that you don't offend God. So many Christians offend God and it means nothing. See, we need to get the fear of God back into the house of God. We need to have a reverence and alignment with God. We will be careful not to offend God. Amen. We have to be self-evaluation to avoid anything that might offend God or discredit the name of Christ. My God. Do you know that Christians, we do things to discredit Christ. We do things to make people that don't even want to go into his house. We do things that bring a reproach on God's name. And yet we say we love him and we can't wait to be to heaven, go to heaven to be with him. Something is wrong with that picture. My God. 7, and we're going to spend a lot of time in chapter 7 because chapter 7 of Romans is very important for us to understand because it gives us keys to how to walk in good health. Romans chapter 7 verse 16, it goes on to say, if then I do these things that I wish I would not do, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now if I habitually do what I do not want to do, that means I agree with the law, confessing that it is good, morally excellent. Now, let me bring this point out. Let me just bring this out. Paul is saying that if I do those things that are evil, I am telling the law or the word of God that this new law that I am following, because when you're not following God's law, you're following another law, which represents evil, is good, and that the word of God is evil. My God. Can I say that again? Now, let me just say that again. It says, Paul is saying, if I do those things that are evil, am I telling the law or the word of God that this new law that I'm following, which represents evil because it's out of the will of God and it doesn't line up with his word, is good, and the word of God is evil? My God. If then I do those things which I would not, I consent unto the word that this new law that I'm following, the one that I'm choosing to follow, is the proper law. God, and I'm following the ways of my own selfish ways, then I'm saying, God, your ways is not good enough for me. I know what's better for me. I follow my ways. So you, in essence, you discredited the word of God. So understand that. Are we following a different law in our lives, or are we following God's law? Because God's law brings prosperity in our lives. Understand, when the word says forgive your brother, we have no choice. That's a commandment. But when we choose not to, following the law of sin and death. That's what I'm following Satan's laws. And in essence, I have lined myself up with the kingdom of darkness. We have to understand that, church, this is a real. When I choose to follow my own path, I'm saying that God's way is not good enough and that I know what's better. We see Christians over and over again that are unforgiving, that gossip, that backbite, they shun other Christians. But then I say I love God. Do I really love God? No, I'm following my own law. I'm making it, I love God when it's convenient for me, when I need something. But other than that, I'm going to follow my way. And then I wonder why I'm getting sick. Why all of a sudden my blood pressure is rising. Why I'm getting dizzy. Why this and that happening to me. We got to understand there is a cause and effect. So let's see what Paul is saying. In other words, what Paul is saying is that when he does those evil things he wished he would not do, he is consenting unto the law of God that these things that he should not do is good, and that automatically put him under the authority of another gospel. So if I do the things that I'm not supposed to do, in actuality, I'm putting myself under authority of another gospel of sin and death. My God, we have to understand this, people. We want to be free. We want to be healed. We want to be whole. So do you see what I'm saying? When we disobey God, when we don't follow his word, we're creating another one for ourselves. We have to understand that the enemy desires for us to overthrow us in God's kingdom, and he will use us and our emotions. See, that's why the Bible says to walk in the spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We are so, Romans 8 and 6 says to be carnal minded, it means fleshly, is to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. We have to learn as Christians to walk our emotions. We can't live by emotions and expect to move forward in the things of God. We cannot follow the natural man. The natural man, if the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, it is an enemy to God. So if the natural man, my carnal nature, is an enemy of God, but I say I love God, there's something wrong with that. I must line up with God's way and not the enemy's way. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see that the enemy desires is to overthrow the things of God. The gospel of God says to forgive our brothers, when instead we hold unforgiveness. And I'm on this unforgiveness because unforgiveness in the body of Christ is so big. I know many people have suffered church hurt, and they go on to other churches, and yet they still hold unforgiveness. And I'm not minimizing the hurt. But I want you to understand, above all else, our emotions cannot supersede the word of God. It cannot. We as Christians, we cannot create another gospel unto ourselves. We have to learn to move forward. It's very important that we understand that sin involves the overthrowing of the government of God. When we walk in sin, we are trying that the sin wants to overthrow the laws and precepts of God by establishing its own right. You understand what I'm saying? By establishing another gospel in the earth. Understand, we cannot follow that as people of God. It's all about, and so he causes our emotions for us to put our feelings on a pedestal above God. Sometimes our feelings become idols, and these idols, you don't understand, it's a detriment to your health. Forgive, bitterness, hatred. All these things are idols. It's another gospel. My God, I want you to understand, when we follow fear, and when we allow fear to rule our lives, we are following the gospel of fear. We have to understand this. Fear destroys your faith. Bitterness destroys your life. Unforgiveness destroys your life. These are negative things that destroy your life. When we allow guilt to overrule our lives, we're affirming the gospel of guilt, because we believe it, we follow it, we align our lives to it. This is not of God. It's very important that we understand that we cannot set up another gospel and walk in prosperity. Our soul will not prosper. Understand it. Glory to God. My God, we have to understand that this is very important to your health and to those that you're called to minister to. Amen. Let us go to 1 John. Let's talk a little bit more about sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. No one who is born of God deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practice sin. No one, because God's seed, his principle of life, remains in him. Who is born again, who is reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose. And he who is born again cannot habitually live a life characterized by sin, because he is born of God and longs to please him. So what I'm saying to you, if you habitually, every day of your life, walking around holding unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred against people, against yourself, you have to check, because you're not born of God. He said no one deliberately who is born of God knowingly habitually practice sin. Unforgiveness is sin. Hello? Walking in fear every day is sin. Hello? These things are against God's character, against his righteous character. Wake up, people of God. Understand this. We cannot do this. He said, hallelujah. Those, if you are born again, you cannot continue this way. He says, who can I sin? That means practice sin. So I'm telling you today, today is the day that you change your ways, people of God. If you have bitterness, resentment, anger, hatred, and you call yourself a child of God, you need to repent and get back in line with God. That's what I'm talking about. We must separate from the sin factor. Because eventually, if you're not sick today, eventually it will come upon you. Because you're practicing everything that leads to sickness, infirmity, and disease. Understand that. So how do we reconcile? How do we reconcile this? We are not to line up with the things of the devil. When we hold these things in our heart, when we practice these things, even people who have sicknesses, infirmity, and diseases now, if you want to be healed, I'm telling you, you need to begin. Let me tell you something. It's a heart issue. You gotta let go of wanting to be right, to be in line with the word of God. Hallelujah. We have to learn to let go with wanting to be right and proving a point. That's why the hospitals are so full with sick people. Many, the hospitals, one business that would never go out of business is a hospital. And doctors, because they're always sick people. And they're sick, unfortunately, is because of the things that happen in their lives. And they won't let go and let God. We have to learn to let go and let God be God in our life. If he is our true God. If he's not, then stop pretending. The problem is we're pretending. If we're going to serve God with your whole heart. Jump in, all of you. Lay your life down. Die so that Christ can live in you, big in you, so that you can be in good health, so that your mind, maybe your body is not sick, but a lot of people got mind problems and mental problems. We have all type of things going on in our mind, depression, oppression, because of sickness, because of the sin factor. Hallelujah. So let's get back to this. Whoever is born of God cannot sin, and he that sin is of the devil. So if we practice in sin, according to the scriptures, you are of the devil. Now, how do we reconcile that with the rest of the canon of scripture dealing with grace and mercy? Okay, let's talk about grace and mercy. This brings us to the place where we are working out our own salvation daily. See, we got to work out our own salvation daily. Hallelujah. Work it out in mercy. Understand that we have to work out our salvation. Yes, there's grace and mercy, but we're still supposed to be working towards something. There's no such thing as greasy grace. And it's only by God's grace and mercy that you get another day to work out your salvation. Because there are many people that went to sleep last night that didn't get up today. It's only by God's grace and mercy. So you under his grace and mercy every day. But that's not a license to sin. It's not a license. We got to get it right, church. The church really needs to get it right. We got to stop playing with God and get real serious with the Lord, because he's serious with us. And no, yes, you have grace and mercy, but you don't know when your number is up. Your number could be up tomorrow. Your number could be up in 5 minutes. We don't know. We have to learn to live a sanctified life. That's another thing. Nobody wants to be sanctified to the Lord. Sanctified means to be set apart. That means that I walk, but I'm not involved in the things of this life, things that would contaminate me, because I'm set apart for the master's use. But the church is slipping and sliding. But I'm telling you, judgment is in the house of God. It is in the house of God. We got to make our testimony before the world has got to come up, because people don't even want to serve Jesus. Why? Because they see so many people that say the name of Jesus, but they're still doing the things of the world. Something's wrong with that. It's a very sad picture. We need to separate from the sin factor. It is sinning. When we follow the ways of the world, make no mistake, it is sin. It is sin that's in us. My God. So be set apart for God's purposes. You cannot be set apart for God on Sunday and every other day of the week you set apart for your own. That's not God. We need to have the mouth of God every day. We need to walk in holiness and righteousness, my God, every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has taken the absoluteness, necessity of his position for us. God is for us and never against us. God is loyal to us. When are we going, as the church, as the body of Christ, be loyal to our Savior? Loyalty means that you're faithful to God. When we walk in sin and practice sin habitually and deliberately do these things, we're not being faithful to the husbandman. The Bible said God is the husbandman and we are the bridegroom. We can't be a cheat on God. When we do things that are contrary to the word, can I tell you, we are cheating on God. We have to learn to be sanctified. Amen. Sanctified. Hallelujah. Paul describes himself as a car wash, and he has been cleaned up, yet neither has he. Paul describes himself in a car wash, and he has not been cleaned up yet, and neither have we. If you tell me you are sinless, I'm going to tell you that that's a lie. We all sin, but we should not be practicing sin. That's the difference. If I do this thing, if I lie on Monday, then I don't lie on Tuesday, then I lie on Wednesday, but I didn't lie on Thursday, but I lie on Friday. Can I tell you I'm practicing sin? I'm practicing. That's not a mistake. Now, Monday may have been a mistake, but then I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to walk circumspectly so that on Wednesday I don't lie again. But then if I do it, we have to understand what's working in me. It's called sin. Amen? So we have to deal with the sin. Let's go to 1 John. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you. Holy Ghost, have your way. Teach us, Holy Ghost. The Bible says that you are a teacher. You said in Psalm 32:8 that you would instruct us, that you would teach us and guide us with your eye, Holy Ghost. So have your way. Teach your people that we may be the chosen generation for real in Jesus' name. 1 John chapter 1, and it says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. My God, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. My God. Lord, help us and deliver us from sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, a liar and his words are not in us. We have to deal with the sin. We all have secret sins that need to come forth and be dealt with. That's why it's so important that we live a repentance life. He said that sin is when you practice it. That's a sinner is someone that practices sin. That's why they call sinners, because they practice. We as the church should not be practicing any type of sin. Doesn't mean that we're perfect, but we're walking out our own salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. Can I tell you there are days that you could actually walk without sinning? There are days that you can walk without sinning for the Lord. Amen. Now, understand what I'm saying. These scriptures are not addressing unbelievers, but they're addressing believers after they have been converted. Paul is talking to believers. We understand that we all fall short of the glory of God, but many people need God to heal them, and many people are suffering in their bodies, and they don't understand it's because of the sin factor. We need to learn to do a self-examination. We need to take the word of God and line our life up to that and see if our life is really lining up to the word of God, or are we just saying it is. We need to take the word line upon line and precept upon precept and say, am I living this? Am I living? God said I should not do this, this, and this. Is my life lining up to the word of God? See, this is how serious we must take this, because truly walking, being a Christian is a life and death situation. Because the reality is that once I leave this life, I'm going to live eternally somewhere. The point is, where do you want to live eternally? Because you're going somewhere, because we are eternal. Our spirit is eternal, and our soul, where are we going? The Bible says that when we die, our soul go back to God who made it. But our soul, where's your soul going to go? Because the reality is going to live forever somewhere. The choice is yours. Now is the choice, not after the rapture, not at now, not when you die. Now we have to make that choice, people of God. Hallelujah. There are many who say that this verse applies to unbelievers. Romans 14:23. Anything that is sin, anything that is not faith is sin. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of and the honor of God. He's talking about sinners, and he's talking about Christians that fall short, because we know we fall short. Don't say we fall short. Amen. So let me ask you a question. Why would, if God was only talking to sinners, why wouldn't he want us to repent? He tells us to repent. Many Christians repent once and don't repent, but we are actually supposed to live a repentance life. We are supposed to every day repent, because we make sins of omission and we do sins of commission. In other words, we do sins that we know about, and then we can do sins that we don't know about. Amen. Let's go over, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, this evening, to Romans chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 to 2. And it says, what shall we say to all this? Should we continue sin and practice sin as it happens, so that God's gift of grace may increase or overflow? Certainly not. How can we, the very ones who died to sin, continue to live in it any longer? So if we died to sin, how, and what does Galatians 2:20 says? I have been crucified with Christ, yet not I live, but Christ lives. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. So we're supposed to be, actually Christ is supposed to be living in us, because we've been crucified with, and our life is supposed to be Christ. In other words, people are supposed to see Christ. They're not really supposed to see us, but it's the other way around. People see us and they don't see Christ. People can't even tell that many people are Christians. Only way they, let me tell you something about being a Christian. You should not have to go around telling people that you are Christian. They should see it by your life. Because Paul says that we are living epistles read of all men. What does your letter say? You shouldn't have to go around telling anybody, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. No, they should see it by your conversation, the way you carry yourself, the way you present yourself. That should be the letter. Amen? So we need to come up, people of God. We have to separate. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Sin brings on many bad things in our lives. Let's talk about insecurities. Have you ever struggled with insecurity? Have you ever been fearful? Do you ever doubt, have suspicion or doubt about your salvation from time to time? Do you ever get in a place where you wonder if you even really saved? My God, we shouldn't get in places like that. When we get to places when we don't even think we saved, that's because we've been practicing things that are not of God. Because if you know you line up to the word by faith in God and doing what's required according to the scriptures, we would not have doubt and insecurity about our salvation. Amen. It is when we are not in place. We have to be in place with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's get back to it. It's so relevant for us for healing. People don't see it like this, but this is the very thing that many people need to know. This, in essence, is dealing with sin and how sin affects us. Paul said that when he was doing things that were not right, it was no more him that was doing it, but it was the evil, the sin that was in him. That's Romans 7:17. So Paul, as an apostle, over 20 years a godly man wrote 13 letters in the New Testament, and yet he's saying that he had something that was in him that was evil, and it wasn't him. Paul recognized that it was something else in play in his life that was causing him to sin. Based off of reading this, I believe that Paul was talking about he knew that he had a spirit. Paul, the apostle born filled with the Spirit of God, teaching righteousness, and he's saying that he has sin. Paul needed ministry. Paul was saying he needed deliverance. If Paul needed help, what is our condition? Paul recognized. He was honest with himself. I got something in me that's not right. I got something in me that's causing me to the word of God. I'm doing something in me that's causing me to discredit God. He was honest. We have to learn to be honest, people of God, and stop pushing sin under the rug and making it minimal when actually it's very important that we deal with the sin. Paul, the apostle Paul, and yet he clearly wrote a letter saying what he's struggling with. These thoughts and blemishes, these nasty, dirty, filthy things that he was doing, the things, these nasty, dirty things that we deal with produces diseases, these nasty, dirty demons that we open ourselves up to produces diseases. My God. Because it's not of God. This is where the minister and when we understand this as ministers, we'll be better to help people. Because when people have nasty, dirty things in our lives as ministers, our job is to help them. We help them deal with it. This is the area of ministry. It's not just about preaching a message. It's about getting back down to the people. The Bible says that when we have faults, we're supposed to one another. They're supposed to be able to come to us and confess their faults and be delivered so that they can be healed. Amen. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another, your false steps and your offenses, and pray for one another, that you may be healed and restored. That's the key. We have to confess our sins. That's why we need ministers that we can go to, that we can trust to confess our sins, because you can't confess your sins to everybody. He's talking about go to the people, the pastors and the leaders that's over you, and confess your sins, and so that they can pray and cast out the devil, the demon. In other words, can accomplish much when it put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. Amen. Hallelujah. We must learn to separate ourselves from the sin that dwells within us. Plain and simple, it is sin that dwells within us and within our neighbors. We get mad at our neighbors, but what about us? Just like they fall short, we fall short. We have to understand that when you look at your neighbor, you must separate them from the sin. We have to be able to, if you can separate them from the sin, you can forgive them. When you can understand that's not them, that's a demon, you won't have to hold on to that resentment that's building up in your heart, giving you heart palpitations and giving you heart attacks, and people have, missed heartbeats because they're so angry and so bitter inside. But if you can separate and say, yes, they did me wrong, but I know that's a demon operating, I'm going to pray that God would deliver them from that. Then we'll be able to let go. Understand that sin brings nasty and filthiness into a Christian life, into their walk. Understand when you sin against your neighbor, you are sinning against someone that's made in the image of God. Whether they're living for God or not, they're made in the image of God. Understand that when your neighbor sins, yes, they sin, but they not sin. Sin is different. Understand that sin is different from the person. Learn to separate that. When we learn how to separate the person, easier to forgive. Amen? But we want to hold on to these grudges and these resentments and these shortcomings and build them up. And it's all building sickness and infirmity in our body. Hallelujah, Lord, have mercy on us. He is the one who God saw from the foundation of the world. Your name, you have to understand, Jesus came for, it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, everyone. I don't care how wicked they are, how bad. That doesn't mean that you have to associate with the person. Forgive them. Let go of the bitterness. Repent of the bitterness. Ask the Holy Ghost to help you to forgive. Ask him. That's what he's there for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So discernment unto freedom requires separation. Seeing sin for what it is a demon, plain and simple. When we practice sin, we're in agreement with a demon. This is the foundation for freedom, to recognize what it is, discernment and separation. You must be able to separate yourself from the sin that dwells within you. You must be able to separate the sin that dwells within others from who they are as people. Genesis 4 and 6. Now, Genesis 4 and 6, I have it written down here. I don't have the scripture, but it talks about how Cain was angry with his brother because his brother's deeds were good and that God accepted his offering and not his. And God says, and I'm getting that scripture because I want us to understand that God early on in the scriptures let us know what sin was. And so if God telling us what sin is, then we have to recognize it. We're only going to go by what the word of God says. We're going, and that's Genesis. Let me just get over there, people of God, because we have to understand what God says. Hallelujah. Genesis, and it says, and the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your face downcast? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, and you shall rule over it. In other words, God is telling him that this thing called sin is at the door waiting to devour you, Cain. But you, the sin is not supposed to rule over you. You're supposed to rule over sin. So if God is saying it's always in Genesis, we should have rule over sin. But many of us let sin rule over us. Something is wrong with that. We don't understand what's going on. We have to understand. Let us go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We need to understand. God is telling us that sin is always waiting at it to devour us, to rule over us, but we must rule over it in Jesus' name. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And this is what God is saying. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents. That means that we fighting with people, but that's not the only things that we're fighting with, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against spiritual dealings with spirits. Understand, and one of the major spirits is sin, wickedness. My God, let us go to Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 12 to 13, hallelujah, Jesus. It says, for the word of God is living and active and full of power, hallelujah, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit, the completeness of a person and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing, judging the very source and intent of our heart. And not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed, revealed to the eyes of him with whom we have to give an account. We forget that we're going to have to give an account to God. Here God is saying in verse 12 that his word is powerful and able to separate us from, is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to separate us from soul and spirit. Now, in this scripture, people think that it's talking about separate us from our soul and spirit. But when you think about that, that makes no sense. Why? If we separate it from our soul, then we're going to be dead. That's not what the scripture is saying. He's saying that the word of God is powerful enough to separate our soul from any spirit. It is sharp enough to divide us from any soul, from any spirit. Hallelujah. The word of God is powerful, active, stronger. It is able to separate us. Stand on the word of God. We're able to be separated from these demons. We have to understand it. Dealing with this stuff for our healing and deliverance. Understand deliverance is two parts. We have to cast out the demon and pray for the healing from the effects of the demon. See, people don't understand how healing works. If someone is sick, it's because of a spirit is there. It is a demon that's there. Some type of, even when we look in the gospel, when Jesus, I'm just thinking about how Jesus, when Peter's mother-in-law had a fever, and when Jesus went to see her, and when he prayed for her, the Bible says that the spirit fever left her. How can a fever leave? It got up and left. The spirit of fever got up and left because it was a spirit. Understand that we're in with the spiritual realm is more real than the natural. The body of Christ must come out of this natural and begin to under the supernatural realm. There is a supernatural realm where supernatural activities are manifested in our lives, and we don't even know how to counterattack because we're so worldly minded, so physical minded. But we need to learn to think. We need to learn this in order to prevail in the days and times that we're living in. We're living in the last days, people of God. We're living in the end times. We are living in the end times, and this is the most supernatural time there is. The manifestation, we have to understand that there are beings that are walking the earth. The Bible says that there were giants before the flood and after. Understand that what we're seeing a lot of is supernatural beings, demons and devils and imps and all these things, and the church is clueless. And these things are destroying lives every day, our children. This generation is so messed up. Why? Because we don't have answers to give them for what they're going through because we don't understand ourselves. So we need to learn to deal with these things, healing. We need to deal with the root. We see we want to deal with the leaves, what's on the top. But in order to be truly healed, you have to deal with the root of the problem. The root of the problem is sin. The sin factor is what caused the sickness. Not being in line up with God's word causes sickness. Living our own life outside of the will of God and yet saying we belong to God. That's why we are the way we are. That's why it's so much sickness in the churches, because somewhere we have missed the mark. We have fell out of agreement, either with God and his word, ourselves, or with our neighbor. One of the three, we need to do an investigation. Those who are sick, we need to do an investigation. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Give somebody, you're going to have to separate them from the sin. Whatever it is, you're going to have to, that's how you can forgive them. You can't forgive if you don't separate. You can't walk in freedom if you don't separate. You can't be sanctified if you don't separate from sin that stops you from being sanctified. You can't live a consecrated life if you don't separate from the sin that's stopping you from being consecrated. See, this is how serious we have to take it. It is not a joke, people of God. God is calling us. You know, the Bible says that God used to wink at sin, but he's not winking no more. God is not playing with people. You know, people don't even talk about being reprobated. But the Bible says that people can be reprobated. You could keep doing the thing so much against God that God turn you over to a reprobated mind. See, we see doing the same thing and expect change. And if you keep trying to do what's right and you keep falling out of what's doing what's right, then you need to go somewhere and get delivered. You need to get away from pride and come out of agreement with those demons and be delivered. All of us, because we want to make heaven. Hallelujah. I keep going off my topic, but we just thank God this evening. Hallelujah, Jesus. So what are we at? So where are we at, people of God? We understand that if we have any type of sickness in our lives, that the reason is that somewhere that we've fallen out of agreement with God and we need to come back into agreement. Hallelujah, Jesus. We have to get the sin out of our lives, and we have to make sure that it remains out of our lives. Can't allow the enemy to make us victims of our own self. We have power and authority. In Luke 10:19, the Lord said that he's given us power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. The key factor is that we want to tread over the enemy. We don't want to be in agreement. The key is to come out of agreement with the enemy and his plan for your destruction. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see where we are. So we have to exchange the bitterness for compassion. According to the knowledge of God, we must come to a place where we give up our right to be right so that we can be with our neighbor. We need to wash our minds with the blood of Jesus. We need to get out of our own way. Many of us are in our own way. We have to come out of our own way, people of God. We cannot no longer let sin dwell in us. We cannot be like Cain, who followed the way of sin, and he ended up killing his brother. Many of us are murdering people every day with our thoughts and our words. They may not be physically there, but spiritually we are killing them. And at the same time, we're killing ourselves. My God, our hearts. We need to get our hearts right. The things that we're doing is manifesting in our hearts, and many of us have hard hearts. Our hearts are now in your own life, you see the sin dwelling within you, and we see the fruit of sin. Can I tell you the fruit of sin? Self-hatred, bitterness, unbelief, doubt, fear, jealousy, envy, competition, and strife, just to name a few. All of these things lead to sickness, infirmity, and disease. Let us go over to Romans chapter 1, verses 28 to 31. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it says, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge, consider him worth knowing as their creator, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are improper and impulsive until they were filled, permeated, saturated with every kind of unrighteousness. My God, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, and mean spiritness. They are gossipers, spreading rumors, slanders, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of new forms of evil. My God, disobedient and disrespectful to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. Imagine this, all of this he's talking about believers. We know that we're not talking about sinners. Paul is talking about believers. See, we need to understand that this is serious, that we are Christians. This should not be found in us. But look what all the things that are in a Christian. Why? Because we don't want to part with our sin. We have to part with our sin. It is very important. Sin is the key factor with dealing with diseases. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 7, verse 17 to 18. Hallelujah. This is in my flesh. This is in my flesh. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now here is a situation where flesh does not mean the human body. This is coming from Romans chapter 7, verses 17 to 18. I'm talking about that. Now, when he's talking about the flesh, he's not talking about your outside flesh. He's talking about your spiritual flesh. Many people don't know that we have two fleshes. We have the flesh, this flesh, and then there is a spiritual flesh. The word carnal nature, Paul is not talking about his human flesh. Paul is talking about the flesh within him. Paul goes on to say in verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Have you ever found yourself that way? You want to do good and you don't know how? Have you ever had a wonderful heart toward God and a heart and still had a hard time trying to obey God? Have you ever struggled in your Christian walk? Was it just to do what you wanted to do, or did you really love God? The mirror, the perfect law of liberty. And when we turn away we see it's sin. Do not forget what you saw in the perfect law of liberty. We have to look at the word of God. Judge ourselves by the word of God. When you judge yourself by the word of God, what do you see? That's what Paul is looking at. He's looking at sin with the eyes of honesty. Can I tell you that we have to look at the sin in our lives with the eyes of honesty and say to God, this is really sin. I'm having a hard time here. Help me, Holy Ghost. I don't want to sin against God. I love God, but I keep doing this. And now that I understand your words, I understand that it's not me. It's something else in me that's causing me to be, dishonor you. I need this out of me. This is what Paul is saying. Understand. Paul is looking at through the eyes of honesty. And no, and one, Romans 7:19. Paul says that the good that I wish I would do, I do not do it. And the evil that I wish I don't do, I do that very thing. For the good that I would not do, but the evil which I would not do, I do. Paul was saying, and he repeated it in Romans 7:20, which said, I do the things that I wish I would not do. It is no more I do it, but sin dwelleth in me. If I do what I would not do, it is no more either me, but it is the sin. Paul was talking about his own carnal nature, the unrenewed part of him that did not match the nature of God within him. He came to the realization that it was not him, for he knew that his heart was good towards God. That's the thing. We know we love God with our whole heart. But Paul is saying, but he concluded that it was something else within him that was doing. Because he looked at it through the eyes of honesty. That is the sin which we have to understand according to Genesis, and I went over that. Paul was saying he needed deliverance. He knew it was another entity that was operating in him that was causing him to act out of character, that was causing him to act contrary to the way his heart felt for God. It was not Paul. He determined that it was an evil that was dwelling in him. In other words, it was living in him, doing it through him, against God. When we sin, we're sinning against everything we do. When we are angry with our neighbor and can't forgive our neighbor, we're sinning against God because that person made in the image of God. When we hate ourselves and don't like who we are, we're sinning against God because we made in the image of God. When we disobey the word of God, then we're sinning against God because he commands us to. So whatever we do in life, we see our bodies breaking down. We need to immediately go to the word of God to find out where we have broken down. Honesty. We have to find ourselves in the realm of honesty. And we have to love God with all our heart and do whatever it takes to be obedient to the word. We have to learn to grow up in the things of God. We have to mature. We have to sever our soul from evil spirits. This is the beginning of understanding. When we separate ourselves from the sin that dwells within us and come out of agreement with it, it means that we love God more than anything. And then, and only then, begin to see 1 John 3:2 come in our life. We will begin to prosper and be in good health in every area of our life. We just thank God tonight for this teaching. I pray that you have gotten something out of this. I pray that you would, anyone that you know who's in any type of sickness or infirmity, that you would share with them and help them. If they're not saved, lead them to Christ. Help them to forgive and get this nasty, gooky stuff out of their soul so that they can be healed. Because can I tell you that sickness, infirmity, and disease is the number one factor Satan is using to take people out. So, Father God, we just praise and bless you. We give you praise, honor, and for you alone are worthy, holy, and righteous. There is no one like you, Father God. We thank you for your mercy and grace, even in giving the words that we need. We know that the Bible was given as an example for us, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for this teaching. We pray, Father God, that you will continue to bless us. Anyone that's sick out there, I pray for your divine healing. I pray. pray that you would line back up to the word of God. I pray for your divine healing in Jesus' name. Amen. And until our next program, may God continuously bless you, increase you, and enlarge you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
I begin to speak in the language of the Spirit. Come on, somebody, lift up your voice.
There is a fire burning in me. There's an anointing poured upon me. There is a fire burning in me. And there's an anointing poured upon me. And it's calling me into the deep. 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 That is calling me into the deep. Calling me into the.
Hey!
Calling.